Blog Talk Radio. Empowerment. Check this motivational minute out and listen up. I hope you can hear it.
Okay.
Oh, it's coming. I didn't hear it right. I had to redo the, here.
I've often said that I wish people could realize all their dreams and wealth and fame and so that they could see that it's not where you're going to find your sense of completion. I can tell you from experience, the effect you have on others is the most valuable currency there is. How will you serve the world? What do they need that your talent can provide? That's all you have to figure out. Why not take a chance on faith as well? Not religion, but faith. Not hope, but faith. I don't believe in hope. Hope is a beggar. Hope walks through the fire, and faith leaps over it. You are ready and able to do beautiful things in this world.
As a child, my parents always told me, you can be whatever you want to be. You can do whatever you want to do. But I didn't totally believe it. Yet I went out in the world and I carried myself and I held my head high and I stood there and I looked people in their eyes and I talked to people as if I was deserving of everything that this planet has to offer. Confucius said one time, he who says he can and he who says he can't are both usually right.
It's time to change. Time to walk down another street. What is your dream?
Well, welcome to Awaken to Empowerment. I hope you heard that. Did you hear that one, Nancy?
I did.
Is that awesome or what? Is that going to awaken consciousness? Is that a paradigm shift? I mean, you know, the opposite of fear is love, and that is an empowering thing. So let's take this show to its new heights, and let's serve so everybody, including us, can achieve our fullest potential. You can tell I've been jacking myself up with a lot of motivational stuff lately, huh?
Yeah, that's good.
Well, I'll tell you what. Do you know, and we might have discussed this on the phone, but for every negative thing someone says to you, it takes 10 positives to get you back to even.
Now, is that them imposing it on you or you choosing to believe it?
Well, that's a good point, but you know something? Thoughts are things, and sometimes people want to download their shit onto you. It doesn't mean you don't have to believe it, but it does still affect you. That negative energy does get to you somehow, you know? And yes, if you allow it to, I agree with you on that, but you know, sometimes, you know, it's you know what? Even if you're your own self-talk, could you imagine how profound that is? If you know, oh God, I'm such an idiot, or I'm so stupid. Really? Why would you say that about yourself? You know? So
I really don't say those bad things about myself. I might say, wow, I can't. It's amazing that I was able to forget this or that, or that's certainly interesting that I didn't pay attention to this detail or that detail. So let me make a note of how I can do better in the next time around.
You choose to go ahead and take the more empowering question position on yourself.
Oh, yeah.
That's really good. That's really good. I call myself a dumb, dumb, dummy a lot. Oh, God, I can't believe I said that. I'm stupid. Now, I'm not stupid, but my deed was stupid. So I'm a big one in putting value in the doer and calling out the deed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, God, I can't believe I acted like such a dummy, you know?
Right. The person is not a dummy. Might have been foolish. Right, or your choice might have been foolish,
right?
But that doesn't mean you, the person. And I think when people are addressing others, anybody actually, and children, it's really important. And I don't, in that, you know, to deliver in that way. Not that you're an idiot, but what you did was, you know, either a bad choice or very foolish choice or whatever way. But that what you chose, rather than insulting the person, your humanness, you know, it's just different. It's delivered different. I think if bosses or coworkers or people that you deal with like every day could learn to change their verbiage just that little bit, what a different environment that would be, don't you think?
Well, absolutely, and especially children. Children are so... You know, it was funny because I was talking to one of my cousins yesterday, and we were talking about how old school some of our parents were and how, I mean, you know, beating was a big thing. I mean, it wasn't like we were beaten bloody or any kind of abuse, although my cousins say that they were very close to the abuse thing. But, you know, in my mom's one half of her, she would say, you know, you could do anything you set your mind to doing. But then, you know, she was a big one on, like, you know, what are you, stupid? My dad was a real big one. Oh, my gosh. So it's funny how completely diametrical I raised my son. I allowed Michael to make choices. You know what I'm saying? I allowed him to make choices at a very young age, and I always tried to be positive. And I see a very, you know, I see a very enlightened and mentally whole young man. You know, which is kind of cool.
What I heard you say to him many times, even from the time he was quite little, even like when you left him at my house or whatever, and so forth, he would. So I think, you know, and then when he didn't, you know, he would discuss it with him. Hey, you think that, you know, which turned out was that a choice? What other choice could you have made so that when you get at this crossroads again, you can make a better choice?
Yep, nope. You gotta learn how to make choices. You gotta learn how to make choices. You know what? I was also thinking of our mutual Florida friend, if you will. And it was, you know, with the alcohol problem, okay? And, you know,
yeah.
that person was always bailed. That person never had a fend for themselves. And that person, you know, was allowed to make bad choices. But the seeds of greatness from those bad choices we make are the lessons that we could bring forward to learn from those bad choices. If we unwind our bad choices and start making better choices for ourselves and being totally self-responsible and accountable for our choices, good or bad. And if I don't think parents serve their children by bailing them out all the time, especially young adult children. You gotta let them fall, man. You know, I mean, you don't have to be that safety net. You should be mentally supportive, emotionally supportive. But every time you throw money at a problem, you're not fixing the problem. If somebody's always broke, always broke, always broke, always, oh, my gosh, I put too much on my credit card. What am I going to do? Oh, my gosh, I got this car note that I can't pay. And a parent keeps bailing that person out. You just drop, my darling. I don't know why. but every time that happens, parents are not empowering their kids. So it's really much better for parents to make holistic adults by giving their children the opportunity to be responsible for their own choices, good or bad. And I see Nancy is back on with us. Okay, we lost you there. Lost you there. Are you back?
Yes, I'm back because I was getting all the static and weirdness. It was okay for a little bit, and then I was getting all the static and weirdness.
Okay.
Now we're good.
Good. But anyway, you know, it's so much more beneficial as a parent, especially to, you know, that young adult that keeps ringing up their credit card bills and not running to them and, you know, bailing them out. It's better, you know, go get yourself a second job. Go figure something out to go ahead and get your own ass bailed out. Because what happens is you end up with crippled 50, 60-year-olds, you know?
Right, that don't know what to do once the parents are gone, which is,
right,
you know, fairly much the inevitable process of life, you know,
right.
But you don't always have siblings to rely upon, nor do your siblings want to parent you like your parents did.
Well, I find it profound how some siblings just totally bail on their siblings. You know, it's
right.
Like, whoa,
I mean,
wait a minute.
Well, there could be some family history of why that is occurring too. So, you know, unless you know all the story from both sides, I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm just saying that, you know, if family, you know, ends up doing exactly what the parents did, then is the person ever going to learn to fly?
Good point. I just think that people need to start figuring out. I mean, how does one affect society in a way that society becomes self-sufficient to where they feel accountable for their own actions? I think we have gotten to a point in society where we feed the victim mentality. We blame police officers for shooting criminals. You know what I'm saying, or whatever. We've gotten to be this victim society. What do you think it would take to change society, where people feel more responsible and accountable for themselves? What do you think the secret sauce to that could be?
Maybe all the media nonsense that goes on. Maybe if the media changed their perspective on how they report stories and the spins that they put on it, I seriously doubted, you know, police officers or anyone in a position of authority that's saying, I think we're going to tell the public that we made a mistake and we shouldn't really be shooting people. But in the fact that it happened, one, you know, social group or another, and then I really think the media has a lot to do with it, decides to put that spin on it that, oh, this is terrible and this shouldn't have happened. And it's like, okay, well, what happened when we were kids and shot people all the time for different crimes that they were doing or being in their circumstances that they were in, and it was not, oh, my gosh, you know, some a political statement of some sort. It was just do or die. You have to outrage.
Say that last statement wasn't. So you think the media? Okay. So what I'm hearing from you to reformulate is that you think the media projects some like propaganda, if you will, not for just a better word, where the media is irresponsible to, that projects public perception of things.
Yeah, because they usually want to spin a story in some sort of negative way or something that will stir up controversy and that will perpetuate, you know, what is really just a normal story, things that have been occurring since we, like I said, since we were children. And we didn't hear those kind of uproars about those situations. So, yeah, I think the media skews people's thinking a lot.
I say in media, if it bleeds, it leads. Isn't that pathetic?
Yes, that is how they operate. That's why I really rebel against it. I really, in the last 3-5 years, something like that, I've really listened to very, very little. I mean, sometimes I'll miss things that are important, but I just figure that the world will make sure that I know about it through friends, through it'll pop up on my Yahoo page, and it'll be important enough for me to pursue, you know, like the topic of legalized marijuana. Okay, I find that really interesting. So if something came up and said so-and-so to do a vote on legalized marijuana, I would probably go and read the article, you know. But just the everyday rhetoric of nonsense of them infiltrating your brain, and that's what people repeat. See, then they hear the news in the morning, first thing before they go to work, and then they go to work and they repeat what they heard on the news.
See, I would find it. I don't do news all day, every day. I do try and stay apprised of what's going on, especially, you know, in the quote-unquote political world. Some of that is such a perception game, but, there's just people out there that shouldn't even be leading because they aren't leaders. And I'm talking both sides of the aisle, you know what I'm saying? They pander to constituents to get votes, but at the end of the day, they're more interested, you know, in their special interest groups, and they really can care less about the folks. And that's not such a good thing, you know. But
no, that's why
things are
so
messed up. Yeah, a little bit off topic. Let's go back to, I was listening to some things, and one thing that really stuck out at me was a couple questions to ask yourself, because you have mastered change and fluidity and survival. It's like nobody I know, and it's amazing because a lot of people that have been under the situations that you've been under, I don't know if they'd still even be around, you know? They could beat themselves up so badly with their stinking thinking, and you keep pressing on, and that's just amazing to me. I mean, it's amazing. So anyway, what I was going to say to you is, you know, there are these questions that they suggest, and one of them that stuck out, ask yourself, do you want to stay the same? Isn't that an interesting question to ask yourself, you know? And then another one.
Yeah, but then you got to be honest with yourself, too, about that question. You got to really, really be honest with yourself, because some people might do a knee-jerk reaction and say, no, of course I don't want to stay in this abusive situation, or I don't want to stay at this unfulfilling job. But do you really?
Right.
Because there's the next question, I'm sure. I could probably predict.
So, are you letting your circumstances control you and your destiny? Are you letting circumstances control you and your destiny? You know, some people have just gotten to the point of where they just get so drifty that they let their circumstances control them. You know what I'm saying? And I'm thinking specifically about our Florida friend connection, okay? They're so codependent that their circumstances are controlling their life instead of them taking control of their circumstances. You, on the other hand, put yourself in situations, and then when things don't go the way that you planned, you take control of the situation and change the circumstances. You know,
right.
I've seen you do it so
no matter
many
what. Right, and it's a no matter what, I'm going to change the circumstances, no matter how that unfolds. And it seems like once I make that determination, then the next things do show up, or the opportunities show up. And because I have a seeking mind for it too, I'm open. I think that's why I get so many opportunities, is because I have that ever-seeking mind. Even when things are calm and good and so forth, I'm open, because you don't know what is propelling you towards your ultimate goals or your big why are you doing this, or why are you even here?
Well, now that is a huge thing, because I'm very honest with you. I know that I was a lot more goal-driven and a lot more driven. I would write the goals down. Now, yes, I still write my little happy list down to get things done, but I was more specific in things, and I've become a little lackey with that. And, you know, there was something else I heard today too. The easiest thing in the world is to get distracted. So, you know what? Sometimes when you don't really set the course of what you want and how you'd like to see it unfold, doesn't mean that it's going to unfold that way. We know this. Okay, we've been around long enough to know God's delays or, you know, distractions sometimes are not denials of ultimate goals. But when was the last time you sat down and did a goal-setting session for yourself? It's been a really long time for me.
Nope.
How long
is it
for you?
I just did it the other day. Just the other day, I was doing one of my jobs, and it was very slow. And I was doing an assessment, actually, of different people that I'm working with, different work situations, and I was assessing it, because sometimes when you look,
you had the time, you were making the time to actually think things through. That's pretty cool. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Right. I was trying to use my time constructively, because the only thing I could do, I couldn't be on my phone or on my tablet or any kind of, you know, electronic device. So the only thing I had with me to pass the time was my mind. So I set my mind on the task of what is really productive use of my time, and enjoyment of it did factor in, not just dollars, but I was figuring how much time I put into it, what the dollars are, and then I referred back to the goals that I made, like, you know, I want to make $100 a day or whatever. So I'm like, well, first is that accomplishing that goal, and if it's not, is there some other trade-off? It's more joyful, it's fun, it's challenging, I meet people, whatever, you know, just a really good assessment of each of those things.
You were actually just taking an introspective assessment, and boy, what a gift that is, because if you didn't have that boundary set by the powers that be for you, you wouldn't have had the time, or maybe perhaps not have made the time, to sit down and just use your mind, which we don't do enough anymore. I think, you know, we're all so busy, and I'm talking collectively as a society. We're so busy with the noise of television or radio or internet and, you know, this and that we don't sit down and use our mind. And I find it funny, because I know it kind of gets you a little pissy that you can't use your phone and you got to go to the bathroom break, you know, and it's there's a lot of boundaries. But it's amazing, because of that, what it allowed you to do. So that's pretty cool, Nance.
So if you could get yourself in that state of mind, your goal-oriented, you know, thought process, or for a while I was just thinking of, like, just wonderful, positive things about life or people in my life, and pretty much like a gratitude type of thing, because I'm like,
that's awesome.
Why
gratitude is good. But
should I say I'm bored? So
Have you done any dreaming? Like, you know, I really would like to do this. I would really like to have that. I would really like to achieve this. this is what my value is to society. I want to help this one or that one. Have you done any dreams like that? I mean, that's something I haven't done either. So I'm just going to ask you, have you done anything like
that? I'm staring at the very notebook because I'm following this book called Something More by Sarah Ben Brennick.
Author.
Right, so this is one of her newer books. But, yeah, it's funny that you're asking me that because I'm sitting here in front of my book that takes you through some of her exercises, and one of them is that I wrote out this whole thing that started a year ago called The Journey, but then I've projected it into the future as if it already happened, just like the other part of this journey that already did happen. But I'm writing it as like in that person, that frame of mind, that it happened already.
Writing it into the affirmative. So, for example, I am 125 pounds or something like that. Like, I'm just throwing an example arbitrarily out there.
Right, like you would write today journal, you know, I looked at myself and at my 125 pounds and I thought, wow, how wonderful it is to feel this great. And I write a lot about the feelings because she talks
that's very profound visualization. That's more an exercise, which is another key to greatness, okay? That is another key that unlocks greatness. But I'm talking about dreams. And I know I used to be a quote-unquote daydreamer. Okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to have that. I mean, the house that I'm living in right now was a dream that I had at one point. Do you know what I'm saying? The cars that we drive are dreams. I mean, I was, want a red convertible. You know what I'm saying? So it's, and I'm going to just paraphrase because this was something that just hit me very deeply too. It says, the poorest man is not the man without a penny. The poorest man is the man without a dream. And Ronald Reagan said, yes, man, is that a whoa? I'll let you absorb that one. But Ronald Reagan once said, the republic is a dream. And we lose our dreams, we lose the republic. And you know what? I don't think America as a collective dreams anymore, Nancy. I don't think we dream anymore. I think we call illegal aliens, and I don't mean to get off on a political tangent here in the last 2 minutes, but we call these people dreamers. Well, you know what? They're criminals. The people that were dreamers were your Russian and German immigrants that came here with nothing but a dream to have a better life. My immigrant grandparents that came here from Italy to have a better life. That's what a dream is. A dream isn't breaking the law. You know, dreams also have to be, remember, everything ethical and moral, unless, of course,
and legal,
asylum. I do find a certain place in my heart for people that are escaping, terrorism from their countries, but that's a different story. But anyway, we have one more minute, and I really would like for us to start, and maybe next week we can talk about it during the week too. Write out 5 dreams you have for yourself. 5 dreams, 5 goals, 5 big things that you really, really want to do. Now, I know a year ago we talked about you having, the situation where you're in right now. You're actually living something that we talked about. You are pretty self-sufficient. You don't have to worry about anything. Like, I don't want to get too in detail on this show, but we have, we have a minute left. Any entrepreneur tips for the week?
Just be, if you're an entrepreneur, be flexible enough and secure enough in yourself to listen to the people that you're working with or that you have have chosen to bring into your work kind of situation.
That's awesome. Be open enough to listen to your team, because if you have faith in your team, there is no I in team. Together, everyone achieves more as a team. I love that. And with that, we're going to end this this great Awaken to Empowerment show for November 2nd. Thank you for joining us. Thank you, Miss Nancy. We will catch you back here next week, and make it an ideal week and an empowered week.
Yep.
We'll talk to you next time.
All righty.
Bye.
Ciao.